Hey, kids.
You're listening to the internet's wettest podcast about video games, consoles,
and pancakes.
The SML Podcast.
What's up, everybody? This is the SML Podcast. I am your host, Joe. We have a fun one. We got some reviews to talk about. We have an Aki here. We have a Chris here. We have a Pernell here. And we have a Matt here. How's everyone doing?
A-okay.
Annoyed.
Good.
Why are you annoyed?
Because
did the noise kill your pizza?
No.
Oh, my God.
I wouldn't be annoyed if someone stole my pizza. I'd be in jail for murder.
The annoyed. Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's a blast from back when I was a baby, I think. I ordered something from Canada, and they didn't set it on my porch like they usually do. Instead, they put a note saying, we couldn't leave it here because you apparently now owe us $40 for shipping, on top of the fact that I already paid for shipping.
Was it a
package you purchased like months ago or something? Or is this like...
Oh, yeah, it's something I bought in like July, I think.
Tariff.
But yeah, probably.
Did the shipping tariffs change that much since July?
Probably.
I thought the tariffs weren't until you hit over $100 or $150 or something.
Oh, heavens no. That was largely why a lot of the states stopped, countries stopped shipping to us, because with the cap being removed, it made it ineffective. It didn't make sense for them to ship products here anymore.
Yeah, but I thought that was, you know, it was, there weren't any tariffs
until you
hit like $150, Gunpla.
Of course.
A model kit. It's not technically a Gunpla, but it's basically the same fucking thing. There's four of them, and it's the third one of the set, so... Yeah. And I'm annoyed, because now I'm going to have to spend another $40 for it, on top of the almost $90 that I've already spent on the fucking thing. I'm so annoyed.
I wish I had your face to Photoshop on thing. Photoshop. I just paint 3D. Let's be real. I'd put you on Yonoid.
He steals pizza.
Hockey the pizza.
He does. I've seen it.
Yeah, I would steal all the pizza. Pizza's good. It deserves to be stolen by me, because I want to eat pizza.
Matt, how have you been? Welcome back to the show. How's things going?
Me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're the Matt here.
Oh, I'm fine. Everything is great.
What you been up to lately?
Joe, I don't do anything. Don't do this. You're exposing me for being incredibly lame. I don't do anything.
Wrestling and playing games. Like, what have you been playing lately besides what you're covering? What have you been playing lately? What are you looking forward to?
I've been playing a bunch of Mycopunk, which is super fucking fun. And Helldivers, because the updates are great.
Very good.
And I'm looking forward to playing Arc Raiders at the end of next month. That's like the next, probably.
Didn't that just get a new trailer today?
Game. Yep.
I didn't watch it yet. I should.
It's fine. It's a trailer. I'll play the game. other than that, I mean, I play a million games, dude. I don't know what to tell you. I'm playing some game called Dungeon No Dungeon. I buy a million. If it costs under $10 and looks neat, I usually buy it. And so I have a backlog of like hundreds of games. So I have no idea when that game came out, but I'm playing that right now. It's pretty fun. It's a little easy, but
rookie numbers.
Art is cool.
What is that one game?
Well, I'm trying to play
Caves of Cud.
Caves of Cud is fucking great. If you're into insanity.
Has anyone else heard or played that one? I know it's coming to the Switch soon.
Come on, QUD?
Yeah.
I have it, and as you can probably guess, I've never played
it. I have friends who have played it, and they really like it, but I've personally never played it.
it's pretty intense. It takes, I had to, like, I don't know, I probably took like 10 hours before I even had a fucking clue what I was doing, because it doesn't say that, tell you anything.
I will say that, though I haven't played it, the reason why I was like, I'll buy it now that I got it at a good sale, is because everything I'd read about it in, like, saw for trailers was implying that it looks very much like a game that could have been on like an Atari or something, but it lets you do damn near anything. Like, some of the scenarios that were coming up as examples were just absurd. So it was like, the idea of like seeing a tombstone and then becoming a zombie because the tombstone was cursed and playing the princess, like, just weird shit that can happen in that game.
Super weird stuff, yeah.
Like, I currently have a guy watching wrestling, and he would just be like, guys, I got another arm out of my head.
Yeah.
What the fuck are you talking about, Matt? Oh, my page
are cut again. I have a dude, he's basically become Tetsuo from the end of Akira, because I have like 10 arms and other nodes and heads and shit coming off of just my right arm. That game is so awesome. It's insane. I wear like 400 pounds of equipment because I have so many body parts. Like, I can't carry anything because all my body parts take up most of my weight with that guy. But it looks like Dwarf Fortress or something like that. I played it in front of my girlfriend one time, and she was like, I don't even understand what I'm looking at. It's like staring at the Matrix at first. You're like, what am I even seeing? What is any of this? I remember when I first fired it up, it took me a couple minutes to even realize who I was. I didn't understand anything. Like, I couldn't even tell what sprite I was moving because of how weird it looks.
Yeah, I've tried to watch my friends play it, and it's just gibberish to me.
It quite is, but you can do crazy stuff. Like, you make, what is the one? There's a way to like pour this. I forget what the concoction you make is, but you pour it over yourself and like, or pour it over people, and you can make clones of them. So like, there's this whole like economy of cloning shopkeepers, so that you have like in a town that's just full of like 50 Ichor merchants, so you have a higher percentage of getting certain items from their shops and stuff. It's really crazy. It's a fun game, though.
It's so ridiculous. If you're into,
like, it's all text practically, but it's the theater of the mind, man. Fuck all these AAA games with $1 million. I don't care. I want to have 15 heads. All right.
Don't we all?
Yeah.
Chris, have you seen that one at all? Because it's coming to the Switch. It seems like some, like, I don't know if that's something you would be into or not. Like, it looks up your alley, but it's also like, I don't know what the fuck's going on.
Usually I like stuff like that.
Like, have you seen screenshots or anything of it?
No, I don't stay up on that really.
Caves of Cud.
Oh, you'll like this, Joe. You can find like one of the items, a very common item you find is steel folding chairs, but you can get them, like, you can find them with modifiers because of how random the game is. So you can find like electrified steel chairs that you can bash people with. It's pretty great.
I'm looking for it, so yeah. Give me a sec.
Or wait, I think Joe, you heard me. There was that one time I was playing, and I had like 18 elk as like companions because I befriended their like king of elks.
I remember that.
I didn't have to do anything except walk into maps, and then those elks would just fucking trample everything. It was awesome.
That reminds me of one of my Skyrim playthroughs where I had the army of dankness. That is to say, I got the ritual crown, and I figured out a way to just keep constantly using it instead of using it once a day. So I'd kill one thing and then raise it up as a zombie. It'd kill something else. I'd raise both of them back up as a zombie, and then they'd kill something else. I'd have like an army of zombies like constantly, and I didn't have to do a damn thing in that game anymore. Except keep making zombies.
I'm looking at the Steam page for Caves of Cud. I still don't understand what the hell I'm looking at for most of these.
You're not going to.
No, it takes a while. That's what I told you. It took me like 10 hours to like competently complete a task. And then I was like, oh shit. I get it.
I'm in like November and I'm still not seeing it on the Switch pages. So
I don't think it has a Switch page up yet.
All right. Let me.
I sent you a Steam link for it.
Another game I'm playing that's in early access is I fucking love. It's so fun. It's called Sulfur. I don't know if anybody's heard of that. It's great. It's like a. It's like a cartoony. Extraction
it's got an
Ultima
look on it. Okay.
It's an extraction shooter, but like the fun of it is like the leveling the guns up, and they get basically every gun you can put two attachments on, and then you have four slots to put either like scrolls, which are enchantments, or oils, which like change stuff about the gun so that you can like build some pretty wacky shit. Like literally, like they boast, I follow their social media and they post all kinds of like people like breaking the frame rate, like making the building guns that when you fire them, the game crashes because it shoots one. Like I forget what it was. They got, so I think it was, they hit concurrent player count of 2000 or something. And to celebrate that, they built a gun that fired 2000 shots and made a video of them firing it. And it just crashes the game.
That's incredible.
It's a very fun game. It's very silly. They just had a Ninja Turtle update recently where, because you used to only have like a katana as a weapon, now they added like all the Ninja Turtle like size and everything, and there's a whole new like Japanese bathhouse level with Ninja Turtle stuff in it. It's fun. It's a super fun, very silly, and harder than you would think from looking at screen caps game.
Oh my god, I found the clip to shoot 200,000 bullets at once.
200,000, there we go.
Oh my god. Oh my god. On their blue sky, I'm going to grab the link for their blue sky is at perfect random. You want to look those guys up.
Or just click the link.
So it's in early access, so it's not done yet, but it's super fun so far. And it has neat little... Like it does. Sulfur. Like there's an enemy in it where if you shoot off its helmet, it has this big weird eyeball. And when you shoot that eyeball, it sets off a solar flare and it blinds you for a second. But if you're wearing sunglasses, you can block that. And I was like, oh, I'm going to see if that works. And it worked. And then I was like, okay, so what does this other stuff do? You can find, like, there's a blindfold as an item. And if you put it on, you can't see anything. Like it's very silly and encourages, like, it's an extraction shooter, but you dying is not very important as long as you didn't, you know, lose a super awesome gun or something. But they also just introduced like insurance. Like,
is it all online or like
no, it's a single player extraction shooter.
Like, I don't understand anymore what extraction shooters are. In my mind, it's like four people going in to save someone and leave.
It means you go into a map and unless you beat it and stay alive to the end, you lose all the stuff you went in with.
Mm.
Joe, when people say extraction shooter, what you thought of is what I always think of, not what you said. I consider that, you know, something completely different.
Yeah, that significantly changes how I think of things. Because I'm looking at pictures.
There's also an amulet that you can use to teleport out whenever if you're in trouble, if you have it charged. Like you get a charge on it like halfway through each biome.
This looks really cool.
It's very silly. The guns are really fun. There's lots and lots of guns. One of the guns is called the Zipper. And it's just a Zippo that it's the tiniest fucking gun. You just like flip up the top and there's a little crosshair. It's very silly. I turned that one into a flamethrower that shoots lava.
Oh my god.
But yeah, the gun crafting is fun because you find tons of guns all the time, so you can just try stuff out. I've very many times been like one scroll and two oils into a gun being like, this is sick, bro. And then I unlock that fourth slot and I think I'm doing something cool. And then I ruin the gun entirely. That has happened to me multiple times.
I just looked on their website. It's coming to console. So that's pretty badass. It is. I don't see a release date on it. There's nothing on the Xbox page. The PlayStation page just says not available for purchase. No date, and there is no Switch page up yet.
Wow.
So, I don't know. We shall find out.
Yeah, we'll find out. I mean, like I said, it's not done yet. There's only, they just added two more stages. I don't know how many more there's going to be. But, like, I think there's currently 7 or 8 or something. One of the levels is just a hedge maze, or a hedge maze that you cannot kill the monsters that are in it, so you have to just keep running the whole time. Which is kind of fun.
Awesome. Yeah, they say approximately how long will this game be in early access? We're aimed for the record of the shortest early access period in history. Famous last words, right? But seriously, we're targeting a 1.0 release to approach with a reasonable pace. All future content is designed and scoped out, ready to be implemented and tested. However, since Sulfur is a system-based roguelike adventure, which makes more sense than Extraction in my head.
Yep.
It requires a fair bit of tinkering and fine-tuning to get everything just right. We want to ensure the final product is something special, and getting there with your feedback will be key. I think I'm going to email these guys. Because this game looks fucking cool.
It's really
cool. Thank you, Jingles.
Maybe we'll get a chat with this one. You guys interested? Should we try setting that up?
Sure, fuck it, why not?
Speaking of,
I'm always the
one
that's like, yeah, sure. And I'm never really doing anything in any of the interviews.
Hey, you did really good on the Shujinko interview.
I don't lie. Everyone else had more to say.
All y'all did awesome on that one. But yeah, since fuck it, why not is a review term, we should jump into said reviews. We got 8 games to talk about tonight. We dive into these, everyone.
If we must.
Yeah. That's what we're here to do, man. That's what I was born to do.
It is what you were born to do. First game to talk about tonight. This should be a fun one. Baby Steps, developed by Bennett Foddy, Gabe Cuzzio, and Maxi Botch. Published by Devolver Digital. Released September 23rd on PS5 and Steam for $19.99. Explore a world shrouded in mist one step at a time, like the Serene Mountains, by placing each footstep yourself. An original physics-based gameplay from the minds behind Ape Out and Getting Over It. Take in the sights, fall in love with the local fauna, and try to find meaning in a wasted life. Get ready to fall for an 8 in Baby Steps, a literal walking simulator. Matt, what is Baby Steps?
All right, first off, you will not fall in love with Nate. The man that you pilot through this game is a piece of trash. And I haven't beaten it. I haven't beaten it. So maybe there's an arc. I don't know if he's going to pull himself out of this. This guy sucks. Straight up.
Question now. Mm-hmm. Did you request this, or does Joe just hate you?
No, I requested it because I played Co-op.
So you hate yourself. Okay. All right, cool.
Yeah. I mean, that's what these games are.
He's a Bennett Foddy fan, and I'm like,
yeah,
I think you need to check out Baby Steps. And he's like,
I played the demo, and I fucking loved it.
So and what's wrong with you?
I'm on the show.
What's wrong with all of us?
I don't know, but whatever's wrong with the rest of us, even combined, it's not as much as what's wrong with him.
Dude, everybody should play this game. It's hilarious and infuriating. It's the entire breadth of the human experience in a game. Okay,
infuriating.
Infuriating. Yes, you will be.
Or infuriating. Fun-furiating.
Ooh. So, I mean, it is what it said. All you do is walk, and I've gotten all right at it. I will still fall over on flat ground just walking straight. I like
walk with a narrative.
It'll still happen, but like,
how does the game control? Like, are you using keyboard or controller?
It's a controller game. It's a controller game. So you use like your triggers. I'm so bad at this. Which ones are triggers and which ones are bumpers or whatever?
The bumpers are the front ones. The triggers are the ones that go.
Okay, the triggers. Yeah. the triggers are you, like, your right trigger picks up your right foot.
Okay.
But also you have to think of it as you're not just picking up your right foot, but you're putting pressure. You're leaning on your other foot when you do that. So you have to think about that because you have to like make these little hops and stuff, and it makes no fucking sense until you realize like you're not just picking up your leg. You're also leaning at the same time. But basically the only buttons are those two. In the AX button, you use to pick stuff up because you get to wear hats. But you pick up your hands, and your right analog stick is the way your torso is facing. And it's weird. Like the X and Y of it. Well, that, or the, what is that? X and Y. Well, the X of it is like the direction of your torso, but when you look up or down, you don't actually like bend over to look up and down. You're always kind of standing up straight. And then your left stick is like pushing your thigh forward.
Oh my God. This sounds insane.
So like you pick up your foot and you can like angle it and then lean into the step you just made by pushing, like, you know, like pressing forward or back on the left analog. But when you pick up your foot, it's not complicated, but yeah, it's like you pick up your foot and push forward and put when the other one, you gotta learn how to walk. And it's that, I mean, if you play like Quap, it's sort of, you know, it's sort of like that, but just with different controls. It's instead of those four buttons, it's two triggers and two sticks, so that you have a little bit more, you have definitely way more control because you can. I mean, Joe, you saw me doing that puzzle where I was trying to climb the frame of that house, which I did finish after I left.
Oh, you made it?
I made it to the top when I grabbed the fruit and I ate it.
Nice.
And then he said a bunch of fucking weird bullshit. This game has cutscenes that are trauma inducing at points. It's wild. Like, all you're doing is walking, and it's terrorizing my mind because, like, you're like, okay, I'm going to go to bed with this hat on, and, like, the hats make you have dreams that are, like, little Atari games that you have to play, and then you run into people that keep trying to help you, but your guy is such a fucking loser that he's like, no, I can't. It's, all he does is mumble and be like, oh, I'm fine. It's whatever. There's pee is really important. He hasn't peed. I haven't peed the whole game.
Oh, God.
And they keep talking about it. He keeps trying to pee. Like, I found an outhouse, and that didn't play out as quite as I thought it would. and, yeah, the there's just a, you run into all toilet. These people that either want to help you or make fun of you. And if the people try to help you, you're like, no. And then when the people make fun of you, you go, yeah, I deserve that.
Oh, Lord. So it's real life,
super weird. Hold on. All right. I didn't bring any of this up last night while I was playing it because I was like, I'm going to save it for here. I knew it was going to happen at some point. All right. So you start meeting these like animal people that are wearing shirts but no pants and their dick and balls are hanging out. And the first time you encounter one, he's like sitting spread legged on a chair above you while you're sleeping. And he wakes you up. So the first thing you see is like this weird zebra guy's penis, like immediately.
Rated M for mature for new.
Yeah. Yep. So you start hanging out with these guys and they keep telling you about a wish. The guy's like, hey, did you make your wish yet? And you're like, no. And he's like, yeah, you get up to that castle and you're going to make a wish. You need to wish us cigarettes. He's like, oh, okay. He's like, yeah, we don't have any anymore, and we need them, so we need you to wish us some cigarettes. I made it to that castle. I went in, I get there, and they're like, oh, you made it, cool, go up and get your wish. You're going to go up those stairs, there's going to be an angel. It all makes sense when you get up there. You go up this set of stairs, and there's a goddamn, like, cherub lawn ornament on a pedestal. That's not like you just start talking to it and you go to wish for what you want and he's like, oh, I was supposed to get cigarettes, but I kind of want to go home. And this voice is like, this is where I knew this was going to happen. The game turns super dark. This voice comes in and is like, are you sure about that? And then it like shows him in his real life. And it's like, it's just pathetic and sad. And his parents talking shit about him and stuff. And it cuts back and he goes, I wish I was dead. And then nothing happens. And it pans out, and the zebra dude that's been like telling you to do all this is like, dude, that's not how this works. Like, you can't die here, and now you just wasted your wish. So then you get all depressed. You get all depressed and like pass out. And the next portion of the game was climbing through like an ant colony tunnel system. That then I told you about this, Joe. There is a down escalator you have to walk up, which is diabolical, absolutely diabolical. You have to walk up a down escalator, and then you get to this door in a wall, and you open the door. You open the door, and it's your room, but you're not in it this time. But you can hear your parents calling you from like the other door on the other side of the room. So you traverse the room to get through the door while they're talking to you, and when you kick open the next door, there's the same room, but less stuff in it. And your parents are saying stuff again, but you go through this like 8 or 10 times. And every time you do it, there's like your stuff starts getting packed up and moved out. And the stuff your parents are saying is getting like more shitty and like not cool. And then that's the end of that part. That just ends. And then you're in like a field with a bunch of sheep. And that's where I'm at now.
Oh, great. You're a sheep shagger in this. Lovely.
I did not approach the sheep. I was like, fuck this. I'm moving on. I was trying to see. I thought I was near the end when all that weird stuff was happening. So I was like, I'm going to see if I can beat it before I have to talk about it. I did not. I'm in an area with a bunch of like fields of flowers and the remnants of all the other people's wishes are like put out on display, like pieces of art with like placards that you can read. It's such a weird game. It's awesome. All right. Oh,
this sounds like a drug trip.
I was playing this last night watching wrestling with Joe, and there was a point where he recorded me making a noise because I had spent like 20 minutes trying to climb this wall of covered in cactus or cacti that if you touch any of them, you fall over immediately, and the spacing is so shallow you'd constantly just keep falling way down. And it took me a while. It took me like 20 minutes, and I finally got to the top of this damn thing. And then this has now, I'm like 6-7 hours into this game, right? Whatever. Nothing has moved on its own, and there's been no precedent for something to move on its own. I step in front of this cactus, it swats me off this damn mountain and throws me all the way to the bottom of it.
And all we heard was,
oh, you gotta be fucking kidding me! Yeah.
So I'm laughing with you, but I'm not.
So it's a super fun game that's totally not weird at all. This is a game for everyone. They said it couldn't be done. It's been done. It has it all. Oh, I wore a bucket on my head, and I dreamt about filling a lake with pee. The game is phenomenal. For 4 buttons and $20, the value cannot be beaten.
Right, I gotta ask you about the bullet points on Steam and see how accurate they are. They say it is a fully simulated physics-based walking.
Dude, yes. The walking is fully physics-based. That's what I was saying. Like, I was trying. I spent a while trying to see if you could run. I don't think there's any way to run. I don't think I've figured out how to walk as fast as you can walk. Well, there's like gaps and stuff that makes it look like you should be able to jump farther than you can, because like I said, you can do little hops, but they're not super effective because they're hard to stick the landing on. but there's been a couple puzzles where I've needed to hop.
All I know is we now have figured out what it's like to be Jacob.
A lengthy trek up a mountain-sized mountain that you can explore at your own pace or slower.
A mountain-sized mountain. That is accurate. The game kind of works in, like, up until you go into that temple to make that horrible wish and have all that weird shit happen. Most of the game is like these kind of like circular biomes that you have to get up to the top of, and then you're in another one and they loop around. So you can walk, like if you walk around, like one of them, you get to the top two and there's a giant tortoise with a golden like chalice on its head, and you like I chased him down. It was fucking hilarious, like chasing it. Like he moves barely not as fast as you do, so like chasing him down was pretty funny. He literally just walks around that in a circle, so you could walk against it, but I figured that would be cheating, so I wanted to race him for real.
I did appreciate the one time you're like, I'm back at the beginning.
Dude. Well, that was when I thought I found a shortcut. I found a cave that like went through the middle of stuff. And I was like, oh, this will be cool because I've been stuck. And I was like, this will get me to a new place. And I got to the outside. And I was like, no, it's like backwards. God. That part, I got kind of very confused in that section of the game because there were lots of options. Lots of options on that section.
It promotes a fully dynamic onesie soilage system.
You get dirty AF. Yeah. you pick up what kind of, like, there's mud, sand, and dirt. And if you can find a body of water, you can wash yourself off. And then you're clean until the next time you fall over, and then you're fucking dirty forever. So then you get to watch, like, go through whole cutscenes of you just, like, absolutely covered in filth because you fell down a mountain. So that's accurate.
Non-collectible hats.
Yes, you have to... You can't have more than one hat at a time. And the hats give you dreams, so that's replayability right there.
There you go.
Because there's only so many... When you dream, you have to drink this like white gruel out of a pot, and then it makes you like hallucinate. And then if you're wearing a hat, you get to have the dream. Otherwise, you don't get to play the game. I don't know what any of it means. I did get an achievement for finishing the turtle's golden hat when I finally got to drink gruel. Did some dream about stealing your sister's like trophy. I don't even remember what I don't think it even tells you what the trophy's for, but you steal her trophy. And then that was, I didn't even think there were achievements in the game. And then it gave me one. I was like, okay, well, what the hell I did. I wore that hat. There was
The last one was one you brought up while you were playing it. A world that seems to come alive with a dynamic soundtrack built up of out of 420 beats and vibes.
Yeah, they are vibes, all right. It's cool, and some of it is cool, and then other parts you're like, what's happening now? Because you'll be like in the forest, and you'll hear a frog start croaking, and then it'll croak more and more frequently until it's a rhythm, and like then like a wolf will howl. It like builds percussion kind of rhythm tracks out of ambient noises, or you know, or like natural sounds that would be in the areas. But then that leads to like when you're in the fucking like shame cave having your horrible life rubbed in your face and trying to crawl around in tunnels, it just makes a cicada noise the whole time.
Oh god,
like super loud. It was so loud. I was like, why is this happening? This is so stressful, trying to walk up a down escalator in the dark with cicada noises like blasting in my ear. What the hell's going on? This is the first game I played in a while that made me take a cigarette break. When I got to the top of that escalator, I was like, I'm going outside. I have to take a minute before I play this anymore, because I'm mad as hell.
Oh man, I wish Andy was here tonight. He apparently owns this one as well. It sounds like something he would play. But let's talk about price on this one. The game clocks in at $19.99. If you pick it up before October 7th, you could pick it up for $17.99. But for $20, what is your verdict on Baby Steps?
10 out of 10. Game of the year. Game of your life. It'll change you. It'll change you in ways you never thought possible. You get to eat ice cream with a donkey man named Moose. It's a wonderful game.
Very good. And it is Steam Deck verified, Purnell. So there you go.
You can like
That's dangerous. I don't know how I feel about that.
You can play it while actually walking. I said this to somebody. I was like, he moves a lot of the time. He looks like, what's his name? The alien from the first Men in Black, like walking around in Vincent D'Onofrio's body. Like you walk around like that. It's so unsettling and weird. It's fun. It's very fun.
Very good. I am
just looking at it. He makes this me
one on PlayStation.
Just like looking at it, he looks like an Eric Wareheim character.
Baby step.
Yeah. But yeah, this I loved it. I want to play it again because I'm like better at moving, and I skipped a lot of puzzles at the beginning because I was like, I don't even know how to begin tackling this. But after climbing that house, I was like, I think I can do almost anything the thing's going to throw at me at this point.
Very good. So, all right.
I'm definitely going to play it again. And I missed hats. I got to find all these damn hats. Yeah.
Well, you can't collect them, so fuck them.
I want to get all the dreams. I know I missed a bunch of dreams. I only got the bucket and the cauldron or the golden chalice and the ranger hat. But there was a donkey hat. There was a frog hat. There was a cardboard box you can put over your head. They all probably have their own little dream. So
very good. All right. Well, Matt, we will let you get going. Thank you for coming on and chatting about Baby Steps with us.
Yeah, thank you.
You got any final words before we let you go?
Yeah, if you can't handle like a mild acid trip, then don't play the game. But if you can, you're going to have a fun time.
Rock on.
All right. Have a good night, y'all.
Laters.
Yeah, have a good night.
Next game to talk about, Agatha Christie, Death on the Nile, developed by Microid Studio Lion, published by Microids, released September 25th on Series X and S, PS5, and PC for $39.99. In Death of the Nile, a peaceful cruise on the Nile is disrupted by a terrible crime. Thankfully, famous detective, Aki, you say the name, I never get this right.
Is on board.
Meanwhile, a private detective is tracking a murder, leading her from London to Majorca, New York, and finally to Egypt. The two investigations collide at Abu Simbel. The dynamic duo will solve a complex case full of twists and turns, but the story doesn't end with the book. It still holds many mysteries and twists, even for Agatha Christie fans. Aki, what is going on in Death on the Nile?
Okay. This is a point-and-click, basically, Sherlockian game. This is the Belgium Sherlock, Hercule Poirot. And he goes around. He solves all sorts of crimes, not just, you know, the big ones that Sherlock does. And this one's slightly different. In this, you're not just playing as Hercule. You're also playing as a young Miss Royce, who is a young black woman who is a private detective and has looked up to him forever. He's what made her want to become a private detective herself. And now the two of you are on different cases that somehow keep dealing with the same bunch of schmucks. And slowly building a larger base of schmucks every level. Only for them to start to converge. And all bets are off. So the two of you eventually start working together, and you get to control each character at different times. They get their own individual levels, even, that are completely separate from each other. It's really nice. I was kind of shocked when I was first given control of Miss Royce, because that doesn't happen in these games. You only ever play as Hercule. And I was like, oh, I get to play as the cute black girl now. Okay, all right then. I didn't expect that. And it was nice. She's real fun. And, yeah, he's just doing his usual stuff, you know. He's, you know, wherever he is, bad shit tends to happen, and he's just like, okay, I guess I'll solve it. Whereas she is a little more focused. A friend of hers is killed, and because she was looking into basically the place that she works at and found some stuff that was fucky-wucky and was planning on turning it over. And she was killed for it, and now Miss Royce is, she's on it. She wants to get these people, and your decisions can change how she deals with these people. And it's very straightforward about that even, which also kind of shocks me, because usually these games are, you solve the problem, and then the police come and take the person to jail, and the end. But, like, one of the first choices you're given is that she mentions either you can hand over the information to the cops to get it taken care of, even though it's going to take much longer to do, or you can give it to a journalist and have that justice be kind of immediate but messy, and maybe at the end not as much might happen since, you know, cops weren't involved. And then later on, there's another choice where she's thinking, what would I have done if I knew this was all going to happen? Would I have done this by whatever means necessary, no matter what I had to do? Or would I stay above the board? And all those choices actually eventually lead to a different way of her dealing with things, which is very interesting. Throughout the game, you're looking around different rooms and buildings and stuff, finding clues by, you know, looking at stuff, solving little puzzles to open boxes, doors, so on and so forth, as well as occasionally questioning people or even eavesdropping on what they're saying to get more clues. You are told basically how many clues you have to find. For instance, like, it'll say, drop on all of the guests of this party. Well, there's three of them. Okay, you just find all three. And there you go, now it's checked off. And you're like, okay, I got all those done. Awesome, there's all that chunk of evidence. Let's look at the next piece. Talk to five different NPCs. All right. And you go talk to them, and then that's checked off. And it's like, all right, I'm getting all the evidence here. It's great. This is typically a lot easier than the Sherlock Holmes games, because the logic isn't as strenuous as the Sherlock Holmes games are these days.
Would you say this is like a more approachable entry for newcomers to the series?
Yes, significantly.
Design with this entry in the series? Do you kind of feel like this is like a soft reboot in a way?
All the Hercule games are like this. They're all much easier than like Sherlock Holmes games. Gotcha. I think Sherlock Holmes games are made for, you know, smart people and adults. And like, these games, I feel, are more made for a slightly younger audience, not little kids, but like people like, yeah, people like Jacob and like teenagers who may be American teenagers who don't have a lot of logic or deductive reasoning, stuff like that. Yeah. So I think this is much more approachable. The
plays two detectives, each with unique perspectives and storylines.
Yeah, that was really interesting.
Do you like playing the two roles? Does it make sense in the story, or is it kind of disjointed where you're just like swapping a character?
Yeah, it starts off fairly disjointed, but they do converge because you very quickly start noticing that, oh, we've seen these characters, we know these people, we've talked to them in this case with this other character, and now we're talking with them here as well. And so you actually end up knowing a bunch of these characters, and you do slowly get to learn more of them, because they do add some extra characters every level. They'll add like two, three of them, something like that, that you get introduced to. and throughout all the chapters, as the chapters continue, you actually keep all that information. So when you get introduced to a character, you actually get a character profile thing that you yourself have to fill out. And it's just with information that is provided to you in the conversations. So you can't fill them all out immediately. You might get like the person's first and last name, maybe, when you meet them the first time. But the next time you meet them, probably as the other character, you'll learn, well, relearn their name, but you'll also learn what they do for a living or something like that. And you slowly fill this thing out until it's complete and it gets checked off. So, cool. Yeah, as such, it doesn't feel quite as disjointed as it otherwise could be, because both characters, they start in the same building. One's just watching the other, basically. She's watching Hercule work because she's in love with him and all this stuff. But then after that, they basically split off, and it's two completely different plot lines until they converge. And you very play quickly
both of them, or is it like you have to pick one? And
no, each chapter it alternates between the characters.
All right.
So you play as Perot, and then her, and then back to Perot, and so on and so forth until they start to converge back together as they find that both their missions kind of coincide with each other.
Like the 70s setting?
I do. I really like it, actually. I really like the aesthetic of the 70s, especially since this is like, you know, we're dealing with the hippies, we're dealing with pulp culture at the time, and we're dealing with these stuck-up rich fucks. And it's like, the aesthetics of all of those are really interesting to me. I really like it, actually.
Yeah, when I think of these games, I think of like early 1900s UK or something.
That's exactly what I always think, but they're never actually that old. Yeah, I think the first game in this series was supposed to be like the 30s or something. Gotcha. So it's not ancient, but it's, you know, it's not as old as you think.
Yeah. Well, speaking of 70, this game is not 70. It is 40. So for $39.99, what are your thoughts on Agatha Christie, Death on the Nile?
Oh, hell yes. 100% go get this. This is a fantastic little game, especially if you love the series. It brings in some new life to it that I really appreciate, and I absolutely love the aesthetic of it.
Hey, so, yeah, kids. Totally. Very good. And just want to mention that the pricing is based on the Xbox release. I know sometimes the PC versions can be cheaper. So if it's cheaper on PC at launch, there you go. If not, it's $40. So worth buying at 40. So times. I can hear Potato snoring through my headset. That's how loud she's snoring right now. Like, it's not loud enough to trigger the microphone and like record. You might be able to hear it while I'm talking, but I hear it constantly, just it's so fucking funny. Oh my God. All right. Also, I didn't realize we broke 600 uniques already. God damn.
That's about 7,000 too fucking many.
Yeah.
Unique.
So we're at 610 now. Aki, update that. Next game to talk about, Hike Northern Lights, developed by Akatsuki Games and Blast Edge Games, published by Aniplex. Released September 18th on PS5, Switch, and Steam for $27.99. World devastated by the war between humans and witches, Hike, a young white-haired girl, travels across the world searching for her long-lost mother. Eventually, she enters an unexplored land called the Forbidden Areas. Hike's destiny is set in motion when she encounters the Meteos, witches who guard the Forbidden Areas. Chris and Purnell, both you played this. Who wants to start?
I'm pivoting to Chris.
Chris, okay. What is Hike?
Okay, Hike is an action RPG that stars a
Burger Thing. Thank you for the the timing on that was really good.
Burger and subs.
Burger Thing, subs. Appreciate the sub. 20th month. Enjoy the emotes and the kitty cats. And sorry for cutting you off, Chris. Let's start this over. What is Hike?
Okay, Hike is an action RPG. kind of looks like a roguelike, but I actually don't think it is one. But stars a girl called Hike. Basically, yeah, it's a the description gave a good synopsis of the story. You basically go through stages with your character, and she has a like a melee attack. This is top down kind of action sort of thing. And you walk around, you have a melee attack, you have magic attacks that they don't really consume anything. It's just on a timer. So if you shoot a fireball, then you got to wait 5 seconds for the next fireball. And along the way, as she clears stages and goes back to the camp, you can collect items and eventually upgrade your character slash characters through the basically the materials you find in the dungeon part. And as you beat more levels, you are joined by more witches. The witches can be kind of freely switched to from the menu at any time, and each of them have really interesting like powers that they can do, as well as, you know, and you know, different like weaknesses and stuff. But yeah, that's basically what it is. You go through stages, collect characters, and improve them. And of course, you can replay stages
real
if you
quick
want
with
more.
The question: what exactly is the setting in this game? Because I'm on Steam looking through the pictures, and it's like looks fantasy, looks fantasy, looks fantasy. There's a Hummer with a tent. What the? Like, huh?
It's kind of both, really. I mean, it's a modern day vibe, but you're fighting magical creatures. Like you might be like the first level is essentially a hiking path. With in an abandoned amusement park, but you're also finding like weird mutated deer and mutated plant bears. So make of that what you will.
And cars with
and
spider
this
legs.
Is on my wish list. Now,
oh right, I forgot about the spider cars, spider freaking bumper cars.
Yeah, you already weird sold shit. Aki on the game.
Yeah, until you said the spider stuff. Now.
You
can't. Don't worry, Aki. I'll go back and I'll censor the mention of spider. That way you don't hear it on the show and you won't know. So you could get the game anyway.
Hey, it just looks like a car with extra legs.
Pretty much. You ain't going to freak
any
you out.
Any legs is extra legs.
The millicar. Exactly. Millipede car.
Okay, I'm cool with that. That's fine.
Just kill it. Just kill the car.
No, just anyway.
Kill the car. Yeah, Brunelli, you can take over from here if you want.
Sure, I can go ramble tamble. So Chris pretty much described the general loop of the game, though. The thoughts that I primarily had about it was that I do feel as though the combat is fun, and I do feel as though the witches have variations of the playstyles that make them different enough that it will justify switching between them from time to time. That is not to say that every witch is necessary, but you might find yourself favoring one witch over another depending on the circumstances of the level. Like, there's one character that I hated using for the most part because they're extremely slow and vulnerable to taking punches. But at the same time, if I want to hit something and hit it hard, they are the person I'm using. So they would come out specifically when I felt like it was safe to just go ham on a boss or something like that. Otherwise, I had other witches for the job. The game does offer some side questing options, like, you know, small things where it's like you might get like a have to revisit a level you've already done, but under a specific condition. Or get dumped into an arena to do a certain thing with a specific character in exchange for a reward. The funny thing about this game is that the rewards, whether you're exploring the dungeons or getting them as purchase items from the store, they never feel like they matter. And yet at the same time, they actually do. Like the resource you need to upgrade all of your character's specifics, or whether it's their stats or learning their new skills or upgrading their skills, they all come from treasure chest found discoveries and beating up monsters and destroying breakable objects. But they just look so kind of bland because like little tiny yellow circle and slightly larger, but still tiny yellow circle. I don't know. They're just things, whatever. But at the same time,
you go to upgrade your character and you're like, oh my God, I needed 50 of those gold circles.
Exactly. Like, I gotta go back and find these other tiny circles.
Oh, come on, Chris. We know Purnell doesn't actually upgrade his characters. He just sits on the points forever.
It is generally kind of my thing. But in this game, I do only because you have to at least unlock new moves. Mm. And I feel like unlocking the moves in this case makes sense just to at least do that. Also, you can kind of grind in this game, too. If I want to go back to a level and get more bibbly bops, I can do that. If anything, yeah, that's what I was gonna.
That's what I was gonna say. I'm sorry, I'm taking back over.
That's so great.
So the cool thing about this game is that, you know, you do unlock a new level every time you beat a level, which is great. But if you want to revisit the old levels, not only, you know, it puts the enemies back in so that you can, you know, grind them up for grind their bones to make your bread, essentially. but there's also little one-way paths, like these green laser paths. And there's almost always like several of them in a stage. And if you go through one, you cannot go through the other until you replay the stage. So there's different places you can go and different treasure maps you can get that you couldn't get the first time. So the game actually does actively encourage replaying the stages, which is kind of nice.
Very cool.
So that was-
let's tackle some of the bullet points on the store page. It boasts pixel art with stunning details, beautiful, vibrant 2D pixel graphics that bring the world to life. What are your thoughts on the visuals in this?
Very good.
The game looks nice. It's essentially cute witch girls, you know, scrolling around the screen. They occasionally have a few still bits here and there, but for the most part, it is just nice pixel art or sprite art, rather. I love how they just toss those two together like they're nothing different. But no, it's nice sprite art. And it was no point where I felt like I was, I don't know, appalled or anything like that. and I do feel as though a thing that we didn't mention that's got its own weird flair, depending on the type of person you are, is there's an anime that a group of my friends were obsessed with for years. And the whole premise of the show was just young girls going camping. Like, I don't know what made it so special, but they loved it. This game pretty much gives you that vibe in spades, because one thing that neither of us mentioned is that in addition to the other stuff that happens in between levels, you also go back to the campsite that the girls are staying at.
That's one of the bullet points I can ask about. Relaxing camp life. Take breaks at camp to rest, sort through your favorite gear, and personalize your campsite.
Yeah, that's pretty much the gist of it. And cook. So, like, you can buy...
That's another one of the...
Well, let me finish the first bullet. We got to finish the last bullet. So you can, whether it's in the dungeons or purchased at the stores and towns, you can purchase objects that can be used to adorn your campsite. And for the most part, it's largely purely for aesthetic purposes. You can actually plop the girls into the map as you would like them to be placed. And like they might say, for example, you want them to sit on a bench and talk to each other. So you can sit them on a bench and have them just sitting next to each other. And sometimes have conversations with each other, which will be a thing that you, the player, can watch full on. But yeah, it's pure cozy magic. Now you can move on to the cooking bullet.
Cooking buffs. Prepare meals at camp to gain buffs for the next stage. Do you like that mechanic? Do you like the buffs?
I haven't done it as much, but yeah, I've just been kind of... Because I'm sure there's two difficulty settings in the game, right? There's adventure and action, which I like as describers. Adventure is easy mode so that you can see more of the story in less time. And then action mode is a little more challenging so that you can enjoy the action. I'm sure Purnell picked action, so I picked adventure.
Damn right I picked action.
Therefore, when it comes to buffs, like, I just kind of select, like, if movement speed's the option, I just pick that one. And, you know, it hasn't been all that hard for me because I've been playing it on the easier mode. So I kind of figured Purnell could speak more to that. But yeah, there's buffs and it's pretty cool. That's what made me think it was a roguelike. And then I realized, oh, actually, it's not. It's just, it acts like a roguelike, but it is actually a static game.
Gotcha.
Looks like a shoe, but feels like a sneaker.
Never mind. I was gonna say in that way it reminded me of a different game, but I've just lost what that other game was.
Oh geez. Charming witches. Let these cute, powerful, and unique witches lead you through an exciting adventure.
Are they cute? Yes, they're all cute. I mean, one of them's a robot and one of them has a scorpion tail. I mean, they are actually kind of unique.
Unique. It is fitting. Yeah. All right. And last bullet point, diverse gameplay. Play as seven distinct characters, each offering a unique experience and allowing strategies to conquer different stages.
They almost had something there.
Well, we kind of covered that earlier in the description when we were talking about it, in that as you find new witches, they come with their own play style and you can switch between them on the fly. You don't need every witch for the most part, but aside from what a mission tells you is required, mind you. But for the most part, they do play very differently from each other, and you will have a favorite or favorites that spawn from the ones as you meet them and start using them. So, yes, I believe that bullet point is very accurate.
Very good. Last thing we got to address is the price. $27.99 on this one. If you buy it before the second, at least on Steam, you could save 10% and get it for $25.19. But at $28, what are your official verdicts on Hike Northern Lights?
That's going to be a buy it for me.
Oh, fuck that. I'm kidding. No. Also, but I think it's a very good game, honestly. It doesn't bring anything new to the table, but I do believe that it does a good job with this style of gameplay. So I had fun with it, and I think you will too.
Yo, Anaplex, bring this one to Xbox, please. On everything but hook us up, please.
And get a fucking thesaurus, please.
It's hey, the they Xbox only use it twice.
Inquiry of the week. The Xbox inquiry of the week.
Oh, it's going to happen all the time. Next game, Wander Stars, developed by Paper Castle Games, published by Fellow Traveler, released September 19th on Xbox Series X and S. Look at that, Purnell. Switch, PS5, and PC for $24.99. Unleash custom attacks by combining words in this super anime turn-based RPG. Collect all 200 words, earn pep-ups from honorable victories, and become a befriend your rivals, uncover dark mysteries, and seek out the pieces of the Wanderstar map in a wild race across the universe. Purnell, what is going on in Wanderstars?
I was waiting for you to go kick Tylenol. Just move on.
Acetaminophen.
I digress. So, in this game, you play as a young girl who is essentially, I love how I just somehow just the name just eludes me all of a sudden, despite the fact that I've been playing it for hours. But her friend's name is Wolf. I'm going with that. That's enough for me. But in this Ringo? Game, you are basically, there we go. Ringo Starr. How the fuck, man? Anyway, you play as Ringo, a young girl existing in a world that is very reminiscent of the Dragon Ball franchise, not Z so much as the original Dragon Ball. In this game, Ringo lives with her grandmother on top of a mountain. Sounds familiar? It should. And one day, while running errands for her grandmother, she witnesses a shooting star, in air quotes, descend from the sky, which turns out to be a wolf on a speeder bike. Through a series of wild events, the two end up having to work together to retrieve pieces of a document called the Wander Stars map, which will lead them to the Wander Stars. So that is the general gist of the narrative, with the one added intent. The most important aspect of this is that Ringo is practicing to participate in a Ki-I tournament. She wants to become the best Ki-I master, which, for the record, I think is pretty cool that they use that, because if you look up what Ki-I represents, it is pretty much the sounds you make when engaging in combat. So when you hear it, that is Ki-I, essentially. When anime characters yell out the names of their attacks, that's what it is, which is pretty much what you are doing in this game. It is, I guess, an RPG in a sense, but with a very unique and interesting twist to it. So, as is the name of the Ki-I style that Ringo wants to master, combat is done by way of engaging in Ki-I style battles. Your character gets a series, a number of words, basically attack names, mods, such as basically adjectives to describe the attack, and then mods being essentially elemental styles. So you might want to say something like, I want to do a fast, successive flame kick, and that is an attack. You get a series of slots that these words can be input into that can then be combined to form an attack. And each of those words has their own impact or, you know, effect on the overall attack. You might get one that will reduce the cooldown, because every word has a cooldown after using it. It'll reduce the cooldown of all the words using the attack. You might get another one that increases the entirety of the entire attack by a multiplier, and so on and so forth. And it's actually very cool to kind of link these together, because you, as well as the enemies, have weaknesses that are specifically tied to these words. You're not weak to just fire or ice in this game, you might be weak to kicks or punches or the word fast. So if you hit them with an attack that has the word fast in it, well, bam, they get hurt. So it's becoming fun to try to link these different attacks together to do, you know, as much damage as possible within reason, because unlike a lot of games like this, you're not particularly incentivized to kill enemies. Instead, you want to show your enemies mercy by getting them as close within a certain threshold before they actually die. So I'll give you an example. An enemy can have 15 hit points, and obviously all 15 down, they get knocked out and lose the battle. But if you can get their HP to fall somewhere between 2 and 5 hit points, you can show them mercy, stop the battle, and get more points for doing that. And in addition to getting higher points that comes in the form of honor, you will also receive what's called a pep-up. Pep-ups are equipables that are basically encouragement from the person you showed mercy to. And they all come with both a word that you can add to your lexicon and also a side effect that can be applied, such as, you know, starting a battle with 5 defense points or an immunity to lightning damage, stuff like that. You, of course, will eventually kind of find yourself in a situation where you have more pep-ups than you have slots to equip pep-ups, hence the, you know, the toss-up between, you know, what to wear and what not to wear. Same applies for words, all the words, too, because you have a limited amount of slots with which to equip these words, so you might find yourself, you know, tossing and turning. Exploration on the maps, the levels themselves come in the form of episodes, and the episodes have individual acts. So episode 1 might have act 1 being map 1, act 2 being map 2, and so on and so forth until you get to the very, very end, and ta-da, level's over. And each of these maps are always the same in actual steps, but the events on the steps can change per visit. Hence, that's the roguelike portion of the game, in a sense. The events are different every time you go to a level, but the map itself is the same. The maps are also interesting in that, depending on the section of the level you're in, a map might have multiple exits, and the exit determines what permanent buff for the episode you're going to get. So you might be on a map that has 4 exits. One could increase your hit points. One could increase the number of slots you can use to create an attack. And then so on and so forth. So you got to make the best choice of you that you can regarding where you want to pop out and go to. So again, part of the grand old fun of exploring this game. So when you beat a level, or rather when you beat an episode, you probably go back to a main menu where you can choose to spend honor points to upgrade Ringo, whether it be to increase her any of her stats. You can increase the number of slots she has for words that she can hold on a level, and more. She can also purchase words that can be taken with her between levels, because also in roguelike fashion, when you complete a level, you do not carry your words and pep-ups that you earn during that level. They are gone. They're gone. Forget about it. Chinatown. So it's nice that sometimes be able to equip words that you can then take immediately into a level with you if you like them. And then if you find something better, you'll just, you know, swap it out. You can do the level again because there are reasons for doing that, such as grinding for honor or because you want a 3-star a level. How do you get 3 stars? My usual dreaded 3-star ranking. Well, there is 3 things you got to do. One is beating the level. One is beating the level without dying at any point during the level. And then the last thing you can do is there's an actual challenge mode you can unlock for each level once you beat it, where it's pretty much a one-life run. The level is tougher with tougher enemies, and if you beat it, all the enemies give you more honor, and if you beat it, you get that 3-star ranking, which is great. One thing I wanted to mention, what was I going to mention about the freaking star ranking? Oh, yeah. So, no, that's not it. So, essentially, that's pretty much it. I love how I just got weirdly stumped on that part. But ultimately, the game ends up being a great deal of fun. I like the story. I like the way they wrote all the different characters in it. And I like that it's extremely tongue-in-cheek. It very much feels like a show that could have been on Toonami a few years ago, because you want it to be that way. I had nothing but fun playing this game. It's gold. The music is spectacular, and I also like the fact that every episode, or generally every episode, has its own battle theme, so it has a little bit of uniqueness to each actual stage you perform on. It's Oh, God, this is a good game. I wish I could remember what the hell I was trying to say, though. It just kind of slipped up. But ultimately, I think WanderStar is a fantastic time. It's a game I've had on my wish list for like 2 years now because it's been in development on the Steam store for that long. And it's finally out, and it does not disappoint at all. If anything, I wish it had voices to go with it, but then I also imagine voices might make this a little bit more complicated if they're going to have them voice every individual word you can equip to an attack. Super flaming mega hyper dash punch. Like, yeah, that'd be weird. But, yeah, maybe they might want to go the extra mile if the game sells well and if they have a voice patch. Who knows? But, yes, it's your
Aggie,
turn.
Aggie, did you have a comment for this one?
What the fuck is with the surfing capybara?
I'm glad you asked that question because it reminded me of the thing I actually wanted to talk about.
The surfing capybara, I fucking hope.
No, but it just reminded me because you talked about a battle thing. The surfing capybara is an enemy type you find on at least the first level. They might show up in other levels that I haven't seen, but the surfing capybara shows up on the first level. There's a bunch of different ones. And yeah, they, you fight them. That's about the gist of it. Aside from that, the thing that I remembered is that unlike what I described regarding the normal enemies, the boss fights are a bit different. Bosses, there is no mercy. You gotta take them out. That's all there is to it. However, the tweak is that whereas before you had the little threshold of health to get them into mercy mode, the bosses have multiple life thresholds. And depending on where you end your turn with them determines what sort of attack or effect they're going to have on you when they counter you. So you might see a skull on there that says between 25 and 35, it's skull time. Skull time is bad. Do not end with their life within that range because they're going to mess you up. So you might intentionally, you know, kind of slack off on an attack just to kind of get them close to the threshold and then go ham to get them past the thing that's going to scare you up. So I think there's an interesting little bit of strategy that comes from having to tactfully determine how much damage you're doing to bosses at any given point in time.
All right, $25 on this one. What do you think?
Probably the easiest recommended in the last couple of weeks. Damn. Definitely a buy.
Do you like this one, eh?
Abso-friggin-lutely. It is a guten tag in gaming.
Very good to hear. Next up, Hyper Cross Fantasy or Hyper X Fantasy or Hyper Fantasy. Whatever you want to say. Developed and published by Onyx Prism, released September 22nd on Steam for $19.99. Experience the story of hope and inevitable singularity. What's happening? Wouldn't you like to know? I'm Skirt P, the creator of this hyper fantasy program, and you fell into my trap. What do you do? Aki? What do you do?
I get very fucking confused and stop playing the game because I am not getting anywhere because I don't understand anything that's going on. That's what I do. So you wake up.
Should I give an alternate description on this one?
Yes, please. Go ahead.
A surreal narrative action RPG. Explore a vast dystopian world through RPG quests, real-time combat, and navigate non-linear storylines, glide, fight, and choose your way through a sci-fi story that warps your expectations at every turn. I thought the other intro was cooler, but, you know, you do. Does that help? What is this?
No, it does not.
Well, God damn it.
So, in this, you wake up as just a white outline, and you're told, hey, yeah, you're going to do what I say, and you're like, do I have a choice? And I'm like, no. And then you're a slave. Woohoo! You have to go off and find people's last wishes bring them to other people so that they can, I don't know, and die? Humanity seems to be, yeah, again, this did not make a lot of sense to me. This game was so fucking confusing. It seems like humanity is uploading their consciousnesses somewhere else and then getting rid of their bodies. Why? I don't fucking know. What this has to do with wishes or dreams or whatever the fuck you're collecting, I have no fucking clue. But that's one of the first things you do is you collect a wish, you do some platforming, you hand it to a person. They're like, oh, thank you very much. I am ready to ascend. And then you stab them in the back and they die. And there's your introduction, motherfucker. What?
I'm looking at the Steam page for this one, and it's kind of insane.
The fucking place. Yeah, you switch between like this side-scrolling-ish type view where you play as just this white shape that does a little bit of platforming, and then sometimes you switch into a 3D view where you do things like combat, which is extremely hard because instead of just like, oh, here's a normal attack, here's a heavy attack, instead enemies have like an open side to them and a shielded side, and you have to attack the open side. It's not always enemies. Sometimes it's just circles that you have to hit, and you have to remember if red means it's open or if that means it's closed. Because fuck if I know, I always forget, and then I fail a bunch of those. And the story makes no sense. I did not understand anything that was going on. I was just hyped to be going in and hitting things with the big wacky sticks. Yeah, and I died a lot, because I'm not very good at the game, apparently, which is very weird for me. You get to interact with people, you get to make some choices in some visual novel style cutscenes. I don't know what those choices realistically do, because I didn't get to the end, because the guy couldn't figure out what was going on, or what I had to do, or survive for very long.
I gotta be honest, between your, I'd say description, but it sounds like it's hard to give one. They have an influences section on their Steam page. And from what I'm reading, it sounds like they're just trying to do way too much with this. Like, they compare themselves to Baldur's Gate 3 and Mass Effect, and then to Cyberpunk and Elden Ring, and then Nier and Witcher 3, and then Wukong and Kingdom Come. Like,
all Avowed and Starfield. Different games.
Like, they're comparing themselves to 10 different games. Like, stand out on your own. Don't compare yourself to everything else. I don't care what you're taking from other games. Show me what you're doing.
Yeah, this one is interesting in so much that it switches between different styles. But I never really understood what was going on, because you're kind of just like placed right in the middle of this. And yeah, it's kind of like you're supposed to figure it out as you play the game, I hope. Or maybe it's just gibberish the whole time and you're just supposed to enjoy the ride. I'm not sure which it is. But the combat is actually surprisingly punishing for a very simple push the right on your D-pad to attack on the right-hand side and push left on the D-pad to attack on the left-hand side. Here's the dash button. Don't get hit. Like, really, that's your buttons. And this game is surprisingly difficult in combat. So, and it doesn't really explain what you're doing or where you're going. I got to an area where I was like, well, there's only one way ahead. And now you're telling me that's not the way to go. I don't know what I'm doing now, because I just came from the area behind me. Mm. We just left there, and the only place up is forward. And so, but if I go back, it doesn't do anything. So I'm not sure what I'm supposed to.
Another influence in the Stanley Parable as well. Let's tackle something else that we like to mention during reviews. They do have an AI-generated disclosure. A combination of human voice acting and some generated voiceovers is used. This is a deliberate choice. It's only fitting given the portrayal of themes of transhumanism and the singularity in a meta way. Based on one of the reviews I saw on Steam, it still sounds fucking awful because it's AI. Is it good? Is it bad? What are your thoughts?
No. I would really prefer no AI voices. Just don't use voices instead. Or, you know, if you're like, well, we need something that sounds kind of robotic-y or something, there's fucking filters. Just put a filter over your own voice and do it. Just please stop with the AI voices. They always sound like shit. Always. There's no exceptions. They always sound like shit. I know because I'm playing a game right now that has one.
Oh, and no.
Jacob's going to be reviewing it on Thursday. Yeah. Overall, I didn't jive with this game. I couldn't grasp what I was doing well enough to really feel like anything was happening. And, you know, sometimes you're just like, I want to go on a ride and whatever. This game never gave me that feeling, though. I never felt like I wanted to be on this ride. Which is a shame, because it had an interesting visual design. I really like the visual design.
Trash, Rando. Just talk, bro. It's easy. I'll do free voices. I have mentioned that to a number of devs and publishers that we have covered games for and used AI voices. And when we bitch about it, I say on the show, I'll do free voices for you if you need it. I tell them in an email, if you just want any kind of human voice on this thing, give me a script. I'll record it. I've been talking to a microphone for fucking 12 years now. I'll spend another 2 hours giving you a human voice to put in your game instead of AI bullshit.
Same here. I don't care.
Yeah. That's my thoughts on AI.
You don't have to pay me. You just don't get to keep my voice forever to use in other projects. That's it.
Look out, radioactive man!
Yeah, don't train AI off of my voice and we're good. $20 on Hyper Fantasy. What do you think of this one?
This one I'm going to have to pass. I just... At no point did I really feel like I was in the world or wanted to be there, sadly. This just wasn't for me.
That's a bummer. This one looked so neat, and it just seems like
fantasy wasn't
on. I think they just tried to bite off a little too much. I think they were just trying to do too much with it, and it ended up just becoming very disjointed instead, sadly.
Trying to be a jack of all trades, master of none.
Yeah, which is usually pretty good, but not always. Sometimes you need to trim down what you're doing, even if you're not mastering all the other things. Sometimes just too many ingredients makes a soup bad.
Your game doesn't need everything. Yeah. Unless it's a fishing mini game. Ask Adam Ripon about that one. Let us move on. And again, Aki will do free voices for you. Next game to talk about, Platypus Reclaimed, developed and published by Claymatic Games. Release September 18th, Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, PS5 for $14.99. Reclaimed, remade, reclayed. The legendary Platypus returns 22 years after its first appearance. The iconic indie shoot 'em up Platypus is back, better than ever, led by the original creator, Anthony Flack, alongside the talented Claymatic team. We're embarking on a journey to bring the beloved classic into the present. Chris, what is going on in Platypus Reclaimed?
Oh, that's interesting. I didn't realize it was that old, because I have the PSP port, so that's the reason I knew about this game.
Yeah, what year did that come out?
Put me on the spot here. Let's see.
That's usually 2006.
It was 2006. And it was on, but it was on Windows first. But anyways, so this is a side-scrolling shmup that is made of clay. Now, of course, anybody from the Super Nintendo era will remember when video games looked like they were made of clay. That was the thing for a while, but this one actually has, like, really the look. The look of a Chicken Run or a Wallace and Gromit kind of thing, except it's a bright, colorful shooter. What?
I said not Roxette's the look.
Yeah. The coolest thing about it is that in especially some of the backgrounds, you can actually see fingerprints, which is pretty nice.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's really very pretty as far as that goes. Now, how is it as a shmup? Like I said, it's a side-scrolling shmup. You have basically three choices for ship. They're, you know, pretty low on detail because they're made of clay, but also pretty good looking for clay. And they're just labeled beginner, regular, and advanced. I mean, they have names: platypus, plover, and wyvern. But yeah, so they basically have like different levels of attack versus different levels of shield versus different levels of speed, how fast they can go around. And the interesting thing about this one, so like you go into the stage and then basically you shoot through waves of enemies, which is which it's a little bit Darius type, I would say, in that for every like two bullets, there's like 20 ships that are just careening towards you. So it's really more about shooting the ships than it is about like dodging the bullets. You're also dodging the ships, and they fly in sometimes predictable patterns, but I also like some of them can turn on a dime. But for the most part, it's like it's kind of a scripted shmup as far as that goes. There's not really an AI to it, but you do have to watch out. Yeah, like I said, when you blow up these ships, sometimes larger ships come in, and sometimes they drop fruit, which kind of, you know, starts to fall, and you have to go physically like get it with your ship, which is not actually a bonus system I like very much. I don't like having to physically grab any items, but they also have a shoot the food kind of thing where it's like basically if you shoot the bonus fruit, it falls apart and is worth less points. But you know, since you're shooting all the time, then that's gonna happen. They also have upgrades to your ships that you can also shoot to change them. They're little gold stars. Sometimes they change, sometimes they don't, but you've got like a spread shot, like a faster automatic shot, rockets, homing missiles, again, Darius style or Gradius style. You have bombs that can drop down while your ship is shooting. And then, like I said, the stages are pretty long, and you have to go through four kind of sub-stages to get through a whole level, at the end of which is a boss. And then there's only, I think there's like four such levels for a total of about 16 stages. But, you know, you have to get to another level for like the scenery to really change. But again, it's pretty cool, and the levels are long, so it's like it's not one of those things where it's like 30 seconds and there's a boss, you know, like bullet hells usually are. They also give you an evaluation at the end of every stage for bonus points, where it tells you what percentage of the minor and major enemies you have defeated and applies a bonus at that point. The game actually tells you, funny enough, the game's hints are given to you via Goodyear blimp. Not an actual Goodyear blimp, but a blimp in the background that will just have a marquee going by that tells you things about the game. And one of them says that if you passively get through the levels, you also get a bonus. So if you just don't shoot at all and let the enemies just fly by, you're supposed to get a bonus. I couldn't really get that to work. I just assumed it was like the Taito game Night Strikers, where you can get a huge bonus if you just don't shoot anything. Although Night Striker kind of hides that a little bit more. Mm-hmm. But, you know, like I said, I did try through it, which is, you know, this is, I think, the second game that is a shmup that asked me to passively ignore enemies. The first one being Undertale, of course. But yeah, that's pretty much it. The like cool thing about it is that, like I said, it's got, it's got like, you know, all these unlock, you know, you unlock stages as you pass through them, but also in the options menu, there's actually an option to simply say unlock all extras. And then it's like, well, you can't undo it. So do you want to unlock everything? You just say yes. So that's kind of interesting.
Nice.
yeah, and it's got a, you know, it's got like a little gallery, shows you the studio where the ships were made and stuff. So it's actually photographs of like all the actual clay models that were used to make the actual clay ships. Like I said, they really did actually do, these are not just like CG models, like they're actually like photographed, and
these are literal clay made items, handmade,
literal clay made
clay objects.
And if you look through the gallery, you'll see also they incorporated Legos in order to kind of like prop them and like and do other things like that, like very whimsical
plastic very building bricks.
Yeah, no probably, particular yeah. brand. Yeah. And past that, it does have achievements. You know, the first one's called All Your Base, so you know you gotta love that. I've gotten two of them so far, so I'm not exactly an achievement guy, but you know, there's like looks like 28 of them that you can get, and so yeah, there's like different things you can get there, and that earns you a little clay badge, you know. Past that, that's pretty much it. Like I said, it's got the it's got four levels of difficulty, the last one being nasty. So you know, you can do all that.
All right.
Well, but yeah,
so Jacob has a level interesting.
Yeah.
Locks in at $15. What do you think of Platypus Reclade?
I think that's about how much I paid for it on the PSP. So yeah, I'm going to give it a buy it. This is worth checking out. It's not like a bullet hell or anything. In fact, if you put it on beginner mode, it's a very forgiving shmup. So this is a good one for folks who are just starting out in the genre too. So I give it a recommendation.
Very good. Next up, Deadwire, developed by Shotgun Anaconda, published by the Colab, released September 18th on Steam for $14.99. Shootouts and smart hacking mechanics. Deadwire lets you trigger chain reactions by hacking cars, barrels, and enemies while you shoot, stab, and throw grenades to take revenge on the criminal gangs of the city. For now, what's going on in Deadwire?
Difficult time. So in Deadwire, you play as an individual who has the ability to hack. What is that? That old slogan people say, hack the world. Yeah, he can do that. So that factors largely into how the game itself plays. If you've played games like Hotline, I think it's Hotline Miami, you pretty much know the general vibe of the game as far as being a top-down shooter. I wish it were a shmup now. Top-down shooter. In that, you are going into individual, self-contained set-piece levels with a specific goal in mind. Might be like to get a key and then get to a computer and hack the computer, or to take out all the enemies, or what have you. They'll also give you bonus goals, too. But for the most part, your primary goal is front and center, and you're tasked with doing it, and there's a high score based on like how long it takes you to beat a level. The thing that makes this game get a special edge, though, is with the hacking mechanic. At any point in time, you can hit the trigger button to put the game into a sort of slowdown state, at which point you are able to basically scroll a cursor and connect two points, as long as you can visually see them with your character, not on the screen. The character has to be able to see them. So let's say, for example, you see three enemies with two of them patrolling off in the distance, but you can visually see them as your character. And there's one guy that's kind of looking away from you, but he's closer to within range of your gun. What you do at this point is go on the, melt bullet time mode, I'm going to just call it. You scroll and click on all three of those enemies, come back out, shoot the enemy close to you. The trigger effect cycles through the other enemies, and you kill all three of them. Now, there will be times where this becomes very useful in that you might be feeling overwhelmed by the opposition as they're coming to approach you. You're like, okay, quick, get off. Click, click, click. Kill them, and you're done. Other times, you might need to use this mechanic to open a door, such as to click it on a door and then click it onto a trigger to unlock a switch. Hit the trigger, door opens up. Sometimes you'll kill an enemy, they will drop an item. Sometimes you can hack other objects, too, such as cars or vending machines or various objects on the levels and have them perform various functions. Like early on in the game shows you that you can hack a car, and then shoot an object. The object triggers the car to drive. The car drives over enemies. You kill them, too. There's a lot of cool puzzle elements that this is utilized with to make optimal kills and optimal clears on the level, which is good because enemies hit like a truck and you don't have a lot of HP to withstand those hits. So be careful. If you die, well, start over. Though the game also, if you feel as though you made a mistake, has a very quick, restart button by just pressing like the Y button, you go right back to the beginning of the level. Downside of that is I've hit it by accident a couple of times. Like, whoops, back to the beginning. Didn't mean to do that. But The thing that kills me the most about this game, though, they do give you a bit of an element to make it better for you if you're not me and stubborn, though I did eventually cave, but it was way too late at this point, is when you go into bullet time mode, if you're not playing with a mouse and clicker, which you probably aren't, because I think people might be, they might be WASD and then it's crap, but WASD-ing it. But if you are playing with a controller, when you go into slowdown mode and you're trying to move with the right thumbstick to click on all the things you want, there's a timer going down before bullet time ends. If you don't make all the dots connect before that timer runs out, well, you don't pull it off, and you're right back in the thick of things. Good luck with that. Suffice it to say, there were more than a few times like, okay, I can just do click and then click and then click. I got fudge! And as I just screwed it up, and the guy saw me, and I get the ass handed to me because the sensitivity of the thumbstick, I could never quite get it right. Now, with that said, I will mention that the game does have an aim assist option, which I originally took to mean aiming your gun at people. And I was like, I don't need aim assist. But it does seem to help with this action, too. It will allow you to scroll over things, and then the game will kind of nudge you to the object. So I recommend turning that on if you're playing with a controller and just accept you need help. It's okay. I won't judge you. I judge myself.
Judge you, though.
Well, no one cares what Aki thinks. You do what you want to do. You do what you want to do, player. With that said, I do think this game has an interesting hook to it. It's fun to play, and the music is pretty solid, too. Got the oomph vibe going. I think this is fun, though. Again, your mileage may vary on if you want to deal with the crap I screwed up trying to start over. And I also forgot to mention that sometimes by killing enemies, they will drop weapons that you can then swap your weapon for, and that gives you various, you know, a new weapon to fight with, and it might, you know, impact your playstyle at any given point in an experience. So, but other than that, yeah, there's the game, Deadwire.
Very good. $15. What do you think of Deadwire?
I think it's a buy it too. Fun time. And again, mileage may vary, and if you want the challenge, but if you don't mind the challenge, I think it's worth it.
Sweet. All right, one last game tonight, Sushi Ben, developed and published by Big Brain Studios, released September 18th on Steam for $11.99, an interactive anime story. Save a beloved local sushi bar from the dastardly land sharks, get distracted in countless minigames, and make unforgettable friends in this larger-than-life narrative adventure, written by Moa of Hatful Boyfriend and featuring a fully voiced cast. Aki, what's going on in Sushi Ben?
Okay. MS, you play as some person who is traveling to a new city to make a new start, and they're on a train, and almost immediately into getting there, you get accosted by a statue next to a shrine, basically. And, it sticks to your hand and starts talking to you and is like, hey, yeah, you want to go to this place? It's closed. Well, let me fix that. And then it jumps off your hand, rips the paper off of the door saying that they're closed, and then rakes the doors down because it's good. It's a good guy. You don't even understand. It's a good guy, though. I promise. And yeah, and you very quickly just find yourself in more shit because you go in there and the owner of the place is like, yeah, no, we're not open. Please don't hurt me. I don't have your money or anything like that. And you're like, I just moved here. I just wanted some food. Yeah, what's going on? And then immediately, Miss Money Mommy walks in with her goons, and she steps on them the entire time, and it's fantastically hilarious. And she's like, I'm going to take this place one way or another, so you should just sell to us now. And it's decided, because the frog statue that stuck to your hand decides to start speaking in front of everybody and is like, yeah, no, we're going to help because we're masters at sushi and we're going to make sure this place is good. So, yeah. And that starts your little escapades in this town with what is effectively the Yakuza kind of pissed off at you for absolutely nothing that you did and everything this little frog fuck did. So it is a yokai, a little monster type thing. And basically the type it is in Japanese folklore, if you keep something around for 100 years without it breaking and you use it all the time, it gains a soul and it becomes this little monster thing. Usually they're very helpful, so on and so forth. That's what this thing is. And it has 1 year to basically prove itself so that it can keep its soul and be seen as good instead of having its soul removed. So it's like, I'm going to help this place and you're now my avatar for it because it said so, and it's a frog and it doesn't give a shit. So that's just what's going to happen now. So you go around helping basically the sushi restaurant and by extension, everyone else in this extremely small port town from these Yakuza people who want to buy up what little is left of this town to turn it into a giant resort, basically so this woman can have a whole bunch of men there that she can step on. Because, like, for instance, when she's going up and down steps, instead of just walking down them like a normal fucking person, she steps on one of her people, they lay down on the step, another person is laying on the step under it, they push themselves up in a push-up, so she's basically walking forward the whole time, never having to step down, because they move their bodies to raise and lower her position. That's how much of a badass this woman is. which is absurd, yes, but that's why she's fantastic. So yeah, this is the type of lunatic you have to deal with, and they're all about that level of intelligent too.
Fair.
Throughout this, you need to catch fish for the guy, and that means that you end up interacting with this big muscle mummy fisherman lady, who is my favorite character for obvious reasons. And she teaches you how to fish, more or less, and you end up doing some side quests with her, helping her catch fish, which is to help her with her job, which then allows her to help him. So, yeah, you've helped two people now. And then later on, you end up needing to get different ingredients, which has you interact with other people on the island, to which there's not very many. There's less than a dozen of them at this point. And you just slowly get introduced to all these people and just help them with whatever typically pretty small fucking thing they have an issue with to just make this sushi place really good. For instance, like one little old lady has a bunch of little baby boars and she can't catch them and they're trampling her little garden. So you go around and you pick them up and toss them in the back of a vehicle. Like, That's it. You just run around and click on them once, walk them over to the back of the vehicle, and click again, and there's one less. These are all very simple little mini games that you're doing. You know, another one has you, like, catching tiny little crickets, I think is what they're supposed to be, from rice paddies. And you just use a net, you run up to them, and you click the button to catch them, and that's it. It's great. So yeah, it's a little fast little game. There are some supernatural elements to it. You start helping a woman who is a demon exorcist, basically, and she catches demons and separates them from their dark energy and creates perfume out of it. Perfume that smells like shit, mind you. But hey, you know, that's what this old lady wants to do, so whatever. I've lived this long by minding my own damn business. So
fair.
And yeah, that's the entirety of the game, just running around. It does have all a fishing right. minigame for those of you who care. There is a fishing
minigame. God damn right it does. All the good games have fishing mini.
And that minigame hasn't pissed me off thoroughly, completely, yet. Totally. Very much totally hasn't. Not at all.
I appreciate that I scrolled down on Steam to more like this. And because of all the shit you make me get, Aki, one of the recommendations is Cowgirl Sex Farm. Let's talk about Sushi Ben. It's $11.99. What are your thoughts on Sushi Ben?
I think it's worth a buy. I think it's a cute little game. I'm not sure how much adults are going to get out of it, but I think this is a really good game for younger teenagers and kids of basically all ages. I think it tells a lot of good stories and stuff, and it's not hypersexualized or anything. So it's a nice little game for kids. Just they're probably going to need your help with the fishing quest that pops up later on that totally isn't going to piss everyone in the family off. Totally. 100% ain't going to do that. If there are issues, the devs are still very active in the Steam forums. They're very active and looking at any time someone brings up a problem, they look at it, they address it, they get it fixed. So I have faith that if you do come across the problem, go in there, tell them within like a week, they'll probably have it fixed. Because it's had like three or four patches just in the past week and a half. So, yeah, I'm totally for it. I think it's a cute little game.
Cool. Tired of the city grind? Drop everything and head to a dairy farm you've unexpectedly inherited. But instead of cows, you're greeted by cute girls with horns, tails, and some very generous milk supplies. The farm is in ruins, but you've got hands, determination, and a high tolerance for affection. Roll up your sleeves, start milking, and turn this place into a nonstop fountain of pleasure and profit.
This game sounds great.
This game features extended sexual scenes, including BDSM practices, milking of humanoid girls, shibari elements, extremely revealing outfits, and explicit encounters with cowgirls. All characters are depicted over the age of 21 and is intended for adults only. Here's the bad news. Artificial intelligence was used to create concept images of the girls from the game and promotional materials that were then finalized by artists and animators. Some backgrounds and in-game icons are also AI. So I went from wanting to cover this from Aki to not really interested.
Well, the in-game icons and backgrounds were created with the help of AI, so it wasn't fully them at least, so... I give this one a little bit of a pass because it seems like they did pass everything that was made by AI to actual artists who did all the touch-ups and stuff to make it look good. So at least they're not trash. I would prefer if that much wasn't in it. But, you know, hey, that's better than what a lot of other places are doing, especially places that have a bunch of money and could easily afford to not have AI. So
SML After Dark.
I don't have the game yet.
Probably should have played that a little earlier.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Oh well, I tried.
My question is,
wait a minute. I ain't say
go
that.
Ahead, Chris, sorry.
My question is, if you're gonna go out to make a sexual game about cowgirls, would the design of the cowgirls not had been the first thing that the humans would have come up with? Like, how are you gonna make that concept and be like, well, this is too much for me to actually picture, though. I've got to ask a machine.
You know,
make up your own
fair
fantasy cowgirls, goddamn it! Don't use AI. Imagine,
yeah.
Use your imagination.
But do real keep perverts, the BDSM though stuff in there, because.
All right, time for Kids know Corner. No.
Oh, God. Okay, I was going to say, oh, shit.
Nah, we are done. That is it for this episode. Finished. Finito. Does anyone have any final words to end this one?
I don't know why they have both BDS and M practices listed on there, as well as Shibari, because Shibari is bondage, which is the BD part of BDS and M.
I didn't know what
there's
Shibari
no need
was.
For those. Oh, yeah, it's a type of Japanese bondage, rope work bondage. It's really artistic. I really like it. It's really pretty.
It's tasteful.
Yeah,